Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2 also gained other 2. But he that receiveth 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And also he that received the 2 talents came and said to the Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that as is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore thy talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I want to say to those who are visiting today, welcome. We hope that you've received a warm welcome from those of us who work and worship here, and that you'll come back every time you have an opportunity. But today, we're glad that you're here. Brother Jake, I appreciate you reading that long passage of Scripture, that you had enough wind to do that. But I wanted that whole passage read. Once upon a time, there was a little boy, and the other children called him Sparky. And they did that after a comic strip horse named Sparkplug. Even though the boy hated the nickname, he could never shake it. School was difficult for Sparky. He failed every subject in the 8th grade. He flunked physics in high school. He also flunked Latin and algebra and English. And he didn't do much better in sports, but he did make the golf team. But his poor play ended up losing the championship. Throughout his life, his youth, Sparky was a loser socially. Not only was he actively disliked by other kids, it's just that no one paid much attention to him. He was astonished if a classmate even said hello to him outside of the school. He never dated a girl. He never asked a girl out. He was afraid of being turned down. And Sparky didn't let being a loser bother him that much. He just decided to make it through life the best that he could and not worry about what other people thought. But Sparky, however, had a hobby. He loved cartoons, and he loved to draw his own cartoons, and no one else thought they were any good. However, he was a senior. When he was a senior in high school, he turned in some of these cartoons to the school yearbook, and they were rejected. But he just kept drawing. But he had a dream. He had a dream that he'd like to be an artist for Walt Disney. And after graduating from high school, he wrote a letter to Walt Disney Studios, and he waited for a reply. And finally the reply came. It was a form letter, and it said, we want you to draw a funny cartoon, and the cartoon must be of a man repairing a clock by shoveling the springs and the gears back inside the clock. Well, Sparky drew that cartoon, and he mailed it off with some other work to the Walt Disney Studios. He waited and waited and waited for a reply, and finally the reply came. It was another form letter. It says, "No job for you." But he wasn't disappointed, but not surprised. He was always been a loser, and this was just one more loss. In a weird way, though, he thought that life was kind of funny, and he tried telling his own story in cartoons. It was a childhood full of misadventures of a little boy loser, a chronic unachiever, and this cartoon character became known worldwide. And he was rejected by Walt Disney. He was rejected by his own high school yearbook. And he was Charles Sparky Schulz, creator of Peanuts comic strips, and the little boy loser whose kite would never fly, Charlie Brown. What an encouraging story that is. What a reminder of the truth not to give up in life because you discover you have your own unique quality and your own unique gift that God has given to you. And so this morning I'd like for us to revisit that biblical account of the parable of the talents. And I say revisit that because I think most of us know that it's in the Bible, but perhaps like an old friend, we haven't seen it in a long time. And maybe we've forgotten the values that it holds for us. And so I appreciate Brother Goza reading that to us so it's fresh in our mind. And so now while it's fresh in our mind, I want to point out several important reminders. And first of all, we all have at least one talent. There are no zero-talent servants in the parable. And since Jesus prefaced this story back in verse 1 of chapter 25 with the words, "the kingdom of heaven." In other words, that kingdom that belongs to heaven will be comparable to like a man. And he concludes that there are no zero-talent servants in God's kingdom. The one-talent man ended up a loser not because he had nothing to work with, but because he didn't utilize what God had given him. He was afraid. Instead, he put it into the ground, probably forgot about it until the master returned. And a lot of people go through life like this, with the idea that they have nothing worthwhile to offer and to contribute because they're not one of the star players. They see people around them that have all kinds of talents and abilities and doing things, and therefore I don't measure up to them, and so therefore I'm just a nobody. I'm a zero. Consequently, their special God-given talent never sees the light of day, and the kingdom suffers because of this. And so God has created them with a talent, and they buried it, and it's out of sight. And they perceive to themselves to be zero-talent people. I'm just not gifted like others. God slighted me, and I'm not responsible for that. And so a Charles Schulz type of person could easily fall into this trap. Why? Because it probably seemed to him that people around him thought he had nothing worthwhile to offer. Every person, I'm saying every person in this room today, has at least one talent to use for the glory of God. So I ask you, do you know what that talent is? I've asked people many times, do you know what you, they said? I don't know. I don't know what my talent is. I have no idea. Well, this brings us to the second reminder from this parable. We must discover and use our talents. Notice that the master didn't evaluate. He didn't advise the servants. He didn't do the work to discover for them. He didn't even suggest investment strategies for these people. He simply gave them the talents and went away, and the assumption was that they would do the discovery and the investment work themselves. And so the five-talent guy, he took stock of what he considered to be the investment opportunities, and he was willing to face the risk and invest and made an increase. And the two-talent guy, he did the same thing. The one-talent guy, now he was afraid. He was unwilling to take the risk. And he would not even put it into a low-risk, low-interest bank savings account because that's like many people are today. I gather from this that God desires us to step out of our comfort zone. And a lot of people are unwilling to do this. Take a little risk. And that terrifies some people. But I have a very, I think, popular and handy way to help us discover our talents today. And it's used by the acronym SHAPE. Each letter stands for a phrase: spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. And so let us consider each one of these categories very briefly and see how if we can get some of these discovered uses flowing. So here are the possibilities under this spiritual gifts. Gifts that communicate God's Word, like preaching or evangelism or missions or writing. Gifts that educate God's people, like teaching and sharing wisdom, counseling, discernment, knowledge. Gifts that demonstrate God's love, like service and mercy and hospitality and encouragement. Gifts that celebrate God's truth, like singing and arts and crafts and poetry. And gifts that facilitate God's purpose, like leadership, administration, prayer, and encouragement. A lot of people have the ability. And when you go into home sometimes, you see people that have stuff around. They say, I made that. People have the ability to make things, crafts. And teachers can use these visual aids that people could use in the younger children in the classes. And so many people have these abilities and talents, but they don't use them. You can use them here at Eastside. Well, let's move to the next letter, which is H, under the category of heart. Consider the things that you love to do. We say his or her heart is in what they do. Her heart is really in that work. Ask yourself, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Well, what are you passionate about? Do you sense that you have some energy to exert in a certain area of work? And perhaps you're willing to yield in that direction. So we've got S for spiritual gifts, H for heart. What about A? Abilities. What do you do well? What are you uniquely qualified to do? Do you have certain aptitudes that stand out? In verse 15 of the parable, we see that the men were given talents, which were actually units of money, each according to his own ability. In the opening story, Charles Schulz, at some point, discovered he had the ability to draw cartoons. I don't know when that was, but he recognized that. Now, I can't draw cartoons. I can draw a stick man, and I can draw pictures, mental pictures, with words sometimes, for you in your mind. And so I guess my abilities seem to run in that direction instead of making a cartoon on a piece of paper. And so, what are your abilities? So we've got spiritual gifts, heart, abilities. Now we come to the P, personality. God has wired each one of us differently with a certain temperament. Things to consider here are you introverted or extroverted? Are you a thinker or are you a feeler? Are you a task-oriented or a project-oriented person? Are you more cooperative or more competitive? Are you timid or bold? Are you loud or are you quiet? What do you like? How might someone with the personality you have be used to glorify God? So we've got spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and now the E is experience. God uses our experience to mold us into what he wants us to be. Now then, that category would include also positive and also the negative, which is the adversity. So many times we learn things in the trials of life that can be of great asset as a teaching tool for those of us in the church. And that can be very successful. Think of how adversity has shaped you and molded you, regardless of the degree of the adversity. And think of the lives of Daniel and Joseph and David and Esther, how adversity shaped them if we cooperate with God. And so have you considered your unique shape? That's the word, your unique shape, in the context of understanding the kingdom of God. So everyone has something to contribute. Now the third reminder that we want to think about is the increase for the master. Remember that this parable was spoken in the context of understanding the kingdom of God. It was not spoken about the kingdom of man. The master passed out the talents not to be used selfishly, but to gain an increase for the kingdom of God. Now then, think of some of the highly talented people around you. We think of those people who can do things that we just marvel at. We just stand back in amazement and watch them. I've watched people, I even watch my wife as she draws stuff, just sitting there and drawing it. And we walk into a place and she sees something and she can see it in her mind and visualize it. What do you see? I can't see that. How do you see that? And she can just see it in her mind and tell me what she's going to do. And okay, knock yourself out about it. I can't see it. I just don't see that at all. Well, how are we to do this? I love this. I listen to talk radio when I'm out on the road. You can't learn much by listening to music. So I listen to talk radio. And I don't know whether you like Rush Limbaugh or not, but sometimes I like to listen to him. And he always describes his program as talent on loan from God, he says. And it drives his liberal opponents crazy. As they consider, that's just another pompous statement from what they perceive as an inflated ego. And the truth is, Limbaugh, I think he's right on target. Our talent is on loan from God. It's not ours. God's loaned it to us. Although Rush, I don't believe, is a Christian, as far as I know. But he understands the fact a lot better than some Christians that I know. And so our talents aren't given to us simply to elevate ourselves among others. They're given to us to use to glorify God. In fact, we wish to be elevated ourselves. If we do, then the direction we need to go is down and not up. According to James chapter 4, verse 10, James says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you." Now, Peter adds another to that when he says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in proper time." And so as we discover our talents for God that He's given to us and put them to work, we must also figure out ways to invest so that they will increase and it reflects back to God in His kingdom. If you're looking for a purpose in life, then the ultimate purpose is to use your talent for God. So whatever you do, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, do all to the glory of God. Then finally, the reminder in this is we need to invest something now. Now then, those who manage the savings and investments of others tell us that the hardest part of investment for retirement is getting started. Getting somebody off of dead center and getting started. Generally, if you go to see an investment counselor, the last piece of advice you'll get before you leave the office is start investing something now, even if it doesn't seem very much to you. Just invest something now. And these people know that exactly nothing will ever be invested until the first dollar is put in. And so the same is true, I think, in using our gifts for God. We sit around, we think about it, we talk about it, we read the Scriptures, we hear sermons on it, and we say amen, and we agree. And say, I know I need to, you're right, and I'm going to do that one of these days. But until we get beyond that inertia of the startup, nothing will ever happen. And life will slip away, and before you know it, we'll come to the judgment. And that's sad, because Brother Jake read to us down to verse 30, but you begin there and go on. Now we have a different story. The master said in verse 27, "Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would receive my money back with interest." The idea is at least you could have done something. At some point in life, you should have invested that one talent. We dare not do that. We dare not neglect this. Right after Jesus told that story, beginning verse 31, He explained what's going to be like at the great judgment. Christ will sit on His throne and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He'll separate them left to the right like a sheep separates the sheep from the goats. Those on the right will ask why they're being rewarded. And the response will be verses 35 and 36. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. How is it that we did these things for you?" they'll ask. To that he will answer in verse number 40, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it unto me. Who are these people on the right? Who are these people on the right? These are the people who invested their talents for the sake of the kingdom of God. Well, what of those who didn't invest? They're the ones on the left. They're mentioned in verses 42 through 43. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. You see, they're not accused of doing anything bad. Charged with doing nothing. Negligence. In short, the ones who made it were those who did something. They did something. The ones who didn't were those who did nothing. And so the problem of the one talent person wasn't that he failed to hand his master a 5 or 10 talent return. It wasn't that he only gained a small percentage of what he would earn in the bank. Even that would have been a reward. It was that he did not invest and did not do anything. I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing. I know I need to. I'm going to get around to that. I know. Amen. I've heard that. I'm going to start doing that. They had not recognized the Lord among the poor. And you know what? They fell under the judgment of James 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now the announcements were made about the activities this weekend and all the people that were involved. Did you know that's using a talent? That's using a talent. Yeah, I admire these women that can teach these 4 and 5 year olds. I can't do it. I don't have the temperament. I don't have the vocabulary. I remember one time a little boy asked me, he said, how long is eternity? Now watch this. I tried to explain it to a 5 year old. And the vocabulary I used was this. Son, it's like a peppermint candy stick with only one end. He looked at me and said, what? What? He didn't get it. Maybe you didn't get it. See, I don't have that ability. But I appreciate these women who can come down on that level and use that talent. You need to use that. And this afternoon, you women are going to be here from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. That's a long day coming for the women's meeting. Now, in that meeting, there are going to be some things presented that you probably could see. I have ability there. I have something that I can contribute. Although it may seem to you insignificant, it may be just a little thing, just one little thing. But it's significant to make this machine work here. Will you do it? Will you be here, ladies? Opportunity has been announced. You need to come. So, I say as one of the several of your spiritual investment advisors today, speaking to you from the wisdom of the great book of eternal investment strategies, I have a piece of advice for you. If you haven't started investing in the kingdom, you need to invest something now. Even if it's only something small. Samuel Johnson wrote these words. Mr. Mintoo has a comrade and his name is Dittindoo. Have you ever chanced to meet them? Did they ever call on you? These two fellows live together in the house of Never Win. And I'm told that it's haunted by the ghost of might have been. So, today I ask the question of all of us. What is our talent? What is our God-given ability? As we think about our heart, our personality, what bent do we have? What passion do we have for something? Is there something that you can do and you do well and you say, well, they can't use that. They can't use that down there where we meet. Well, they can't use that in the body at Eastside. They can't use that.
it's frightening. It's frightening to even bring it up because you might be embarrassed. You think you'll be embarrassed. You think you might be humiliated. You think you might be talked about behind your back. Well, that's silly. Something small. Need to invest it now. Use it to the glory of God. What are you passionate about? It might not be something that's flashy. It might be simply something that others have overlooked, like a cartoon. Walt Disney was he wrong? Was the people on that school year, were they wrong? I tell you what, I like old Charles Schulz. He's my number two theologian. Jesus Christ is number one. Charles is my second one. Now, he tells you about how people act, how kids act to one another. Charlie Brown, this is the way kids do, and that's the way he was treated. Lucy walks up to Charlie and says, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." She said, "Do you think I'm irritable?" He said, "I think you're very irritable." She said, "Who cares what you think?" Isn't that the way we are? Isn't that the way kids treat each other? That's the way he was treated. But he didn't give up. He just kept doing those cartoons and kept on doing. He's world famous. He's dead now, but those cartoons live on. So, what do you do well? What can you invest for God right now? What is it? I hope maybe it's something you thought about. You might bring up, you might mention, you might do. Let someone know. Get the encouragement that you need. But do it now. Do it today. The way you can be a value to the kingdom of God is be a member of it. Are you a member of the family of God today? You're in a position to be so. All things are ready. Christ died for your sins, shed His precious blood on Calvary, was buried at the heart of the earth for 3 days, raised, declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. And He extends an invitation to you to come to Him. Come to me and I'll give you life. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give it to you. I've paid the debt. You don't have the right currency to buy it. I paid your debt. And so as a believer today, are you convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and willing to confess that unashamedly before this good audience? Be buried with your Lord by baptism into death. That's where He shed His blood. That's where He contacted the blood. Raised to walk in newness of life. Let the Lord add you to the church, the kingdom, the one He purchased with His own blood. Give you your name Christian. Wear that name proudly. Be faithful unto death. Would you be willing to do that? Maybe you're willing to say, "You know what? I need you to pray for me. I want to use my talents. I want to just do something that's, you know, I don't know why. I'll tell somebody later about it. But I remember this little thing that was done. Brother Myers Wilbanks, some of you know him or knew him. He's dead now. He was an elder at Maryville. He liked peanut butter and saltine crackers. And he said, "You know what? I like that. People at the nursing home might like it." So he'd get him a jar of peanut butter and a box of saltine crackers, and he'd go out to the nursing home, and he'd come to these little old ladies sitting there with a little old lap rug on. He said, "Would you like a peanut butter and cracker?" And they say, "Yeah." And he'd put them a little peanut butter on that cracker, and he'd feed it to them. That's something small. But you know what? It made their day. Maybe just something like that. You could say, "I want to use my talent. I want to get involved. I want you to pray for me." The Lord invites you to come today, and then He waits to see what you'll do. Will you come? If so, I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.